This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer. Let's take a moment and pray. Our good and gracious King, we thank you that we have an audience with you this morning. We can come before you. Help us to hear this question that you ask. What is your name? Help us to hear it for ourselves and to answer you honestly, trusting you, who you are, God, and all that you can do. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is your name? In some way, as I said earlier, it's a really simple question. It's asked if you've booked a seat in a restaurant and what is your name? And they take you to your reserved seat to enjoy your meal. Or you go into a chemist to pick up a prescription and what is your name? But what does it mean when Jesus asks, what is your name? We're going to hear and read together a story that's found in Mark's Gospel, also found in Luke's Gospel as well, but we're going to read it from Mark's. When the Gerasene man was asked this question by Jesus, and the story is told in these two Gospels, and the question that I want you to keep in mind is, what does it mean when Jesus asks, what is your name? So let's turn now to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 20. You might have a Bible where you're seated, and you can open up Mark's Gospel there, and we're chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. They went across the lake, so that's Jesus and his disciples. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran, fell on his knees in front of him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding in the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. So as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. What is your name? Names are important. They can reveal something about who you are. George Lucas carefully chose the name of the characters in Star Wars. Han Solo. He's introduced in episode 4, where it's obvious his character is out for himself, acting according to his own set of rules, going solo. Character who's used to working solo, Han Solo. Darth Vader. Darth as in dark, and Vader as in a variation of the German word Vater, father. Therefore, dark father. A huge clue to the character's nemesis function, as well as his relationship to Luke, revealed in The Empire Strikes Back. Names are important. They reveal something about who we are. And Jesus asked this man in the Gerasenes region, "What is your name?" And the man replies, "My name is Legion." And this reveals something about the man's life. A legion in the Roman Empire numbered between 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. A sizable military force. The region where he lived was at the time occupied by Romans, by the Roman soldiers. The region he lived in was the Decapolis. And it was the eastern side of Lake Galilee, the eastern frontier of the Roman Empire. The Roman army in this region were particularly renowned for being oppressive presence. They were renowned for their brutality. This man's name, Legion, tells us something. It describes the great torment battle going on within him. This man was lost to himself. There were so many conflicting personalities at work within him, and a lot of them deeply destructive. My name is Legion. I am many things. I am many persons. In Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, the caterpillar asks Alice who she is. And she says, "I hardly know, sir. At least, I know who I was when I got up this morning. But I think I must have changed several times since." Alice was so unsettled, so disturbed, because she didn't quite know who she was. And throughout the day, we, like Alice, can change through many personas. We can put on many masks. Who we are in our family, in our home, as a husband or a wife or a parent or a child. We walk out the front door and we are someone slightly different with the neighbors or with that particular set of friends or with our colleagues at work. Or when we're at the sports club, we have a different persona. You know, even today with our LinkedIn status, which tells everybody about our professional profile, our CV, it's there on the website that people can see. We have this persona. We have a persona on Facebook, on Instagram, Snapchat. Like Alice, we can be different persons several times in one day. At some time or another, most of us are aware of a number of different personalities jostling for a position inside of us. Has anybody ever said to you, "You don't seem yourself"? If that's the case, then who are you? The question Jesus asked still matters today for us. What is your name? Who are you? What are the many facets of your personality that make up you? Your personas, your collection of personas. What's your story? Do you like all these personas that belong to you? Or do you keep some of them hidden? Actually, you work quite hard to keep some of them hidden. Or what part do you like best and you want others to see? I remember my RE teacher, the Reverend Dr. McAllister. And he was teaching us one day, a day I'll never forget. And he was up at the front, relaxed, teaching us about Paul's missionary journeys, preparing us for A-level RE exam. And outside in the corridor, in between our two periods, there began to be a bit of noise going on. And the noise was coming through the door, and it was starting to disturb his teaching. So he arose, went towards the door. On the back of the door was hung up his black cloak. He took the black cloak off the hook, put it around him, opened the door, went out, and with a loud voice told these children, with an almighty rage, that they were to keep quiet because he was trying to teach in there. And as we sat at our tables, we could hear this hush descend in this corridor. And there was a quiet. And he walked back into the classroom, took off his black cloak, hung it up behind the door, closed the door, came in, sat down, leaned back, and said, "Now, where was I? Where was I?" This man needed to find himself. The Gerasene man needed to find himself because in the circumstances and demands of life, we can lose ourselves. Where was I? The possessed Gerasene man was lost. He didn't know who he was, and his community couldn't make sense of him. This poor soul on the Gerasene cliffside was, according to Luke, possessed by many, many demons. Now, it doesn't matter how you perceive these demons, as objective entities or as representations of a particular mental illness. The point is to take them seriously and to help this man. This man needed to find himself, to regain a sense of who he is. Now, where was I? Where am I? Who am I? He needed to regain a clear, stable identity. But the very fact Jesus asked this question to this man tells us a number of things about who God is and what God can do. And I want to tell you this morning, as simple as these things are, they are foundational to your faith. These are the things that can strengthen your faith, this understanding of who God is and what God does. And so I want to draw your attention to three things that we see about God in this question, who am I, or what is your name? First of all, God is good. God wants to give us peace in ourselves. Secondly, God is love. God wants a relationship with each one of us. Every relationship starts with that simple question, and what is your name? And thirdly, God is powerful. God can restore us to our true selves. So let's look at the first one, God is good. Jesus asked, what is your name? If God knows our name, then we have been noticed. We are not abandoned to the dark tombs of the circumstances of our lives. The Gerasene man was living in his dark tomb on the cliffside, and he'd been abandoned by his community, ostracized, condemned. It was often said in Mark chapter 5, verse 4, you'll read there, no one was strong enough to subdue him. Some might say this man was beyond saving. Forget about him. That man's lost. Indeed, there was even something within himself that didn't want to be saved. In God's name, don't torture me, is what the man said when Jesus approached. In God's name, don't torture me. You see, the nearness of Jesus doesn't always bring, for some people, a sense of comfort and relief. For some, and maybe for you, it creates a feeling of fear and anxiety. What might Jesus find in me? And when he finds it, what might Jesus do to me? What might he ask of me? Will he shame me? Will he torture me, make my life miserable? Some people genuinely have this concern, and maybe you might carry that concern too, about meeting with Jesus. Some of you might even think, I don't know if I want to get that close to Jesus. Jesus draws near to us, not to torture us. God knows we're tortured enough in this broken world. Indeed, God knows we torture ourselves. You've often, I'm sure, heard the phrase, you're your own worst enemy. We torture ourselves. Jesus draws near to do the opposite, to be good to us. God is good. Jesus draw near to restore us, heal us, enable us to be our best selves, live our best lives at peace with ourselves, in ourselves. Indeed, the whole process of Jesus' life on earth was to endure all the harm that we ought to have experienced because of our sin in his death on the cross, and then offer us, in exchange, new life. At the heart of what it means to be a Christian is to receive a new identity. A new creation, it says in Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The old has passed away and the new has come. In Jesus, we take off our masks and we find and we become our true selves. That's what happens. And the Holy Spirit was sent to do that work within us, of our true selves taking shape and getting rid of all those personas that may be destructive and harmful, and honing and shaping and forming that true self that really needs to be in the likeness of Jesus. So the first thing I want you to hear this morning is God is love. He's not out to torture you or make your life more miserable than it may already be. God is good. He is good. He is good. And God is love. God is good. God is love. What is your name? As I said earlier, it's the question one human asks another when they want to begin a relationship. Famously, the boxer George Foreman named all five of his kids George. That is highly unusual. You know, we want our kids to be recognized as themselves. Parents usually take time to carefully choose that name for their newborn child. And it often has a positive meaning. There's often a story behind it that can be told. Our desire to be known by our name reveals a simple yearning to be known and to be cared for. If someone doesn't bother to learn our name, it tends to give us the impression that they really don't care much about us. Indeed, it can make you feel small and insignificant. And what can be particularly painful, for example, is if a loved one no longer remembers your name because Alzheimer's disease has developed. This Gerasene's man probably couldn't remember the last time someone cared enough about him to find out his name or speak his name. For all the time he'd been tormented, he may never have been asked his name. And that in itself is torment. To have no one seeking to know you and who you are. He was likely just the local homeless man, or the local weirdo, or madman, or demonic. But Jesus comes and he asks, "And what is your name?" In asking this question, we see that if God knows my name, God is not some impersonal force, some distant spiritual being, and I'm lost in the crowd. I'm just a face in the masses. So welcome assurance that the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, God calls each one by name. God knowing my name means God knows me, God cares about me, and he seeks to be in a relationship with me. At the beginning of 2020, the Brazilian striker Roberto Firmino shared on Instagram with his 13 million followers a video of his baptism. The caption below the post said, "I give you my failures and the victories I will give you too. My biggest title is your love, Jesus." Of all the names and all the titles Roberto could have had, he said this one was the most significant. That I, me, am a child of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now." You know, it's tempting to build our identity on what other people think of us. There are plenty of people who have opinions on you out there. It's tempting to build yourself on your accolades, on all your achievements and your successes. Or it's tempting to build your opinion of yourself on what you think of yourself, how you see yourself when you look in the mirror. It's tempting to build our sense of identity on what we accomplish, but none of this is a stable foundation. Your true identity is ultimately based on who God is and what God has done for you. You are a child of God. That's your key foundational identity around which you can build all your other identities. And they may stay or they may fall over the course of your life, but at the center of who you are is, I am a loved child of God. Whether I gain this or I lose that, whether I'm seen to be this person or seen to be that person, at the heart of who I am, from the moment I wake up in the morning to when I go to bed, this is foundational. I'm God's child. What is your name? Roberto Firmino, beloved child of God. The Gerasene man discovered that when Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He knew how loved he was by Jesus to the point that he wanted to follow Jesus, go with him, never leave that man's side again. God is good, God is love, and God is powerful. The Gerasenes, where this man lived, was the Gentile region of Galilee. It was the other side of the lake. They were the people who lived over there. You know those people who live over there? What is significant about this story Mark and Luke tell in their Gospels is that the authority of Jesus is effective in every place and with every person. For me and those who have little to do with me, even those who fail to understand, like this Gerasene man who lived in the tombs, withdrawn, self-harming, confused, angry, lost, Jesus has power over everything and everyone. But this Gerasenes community failed to include this man. He had to live far from everyone, right on the edge of the lake, on the cliffside. You can see it there. Falls down into the lake. At some points, you've got to be really careful when you walk around the edge because it's so steep. He was not welcome, and people would rather not see or hear him. They had no desire to get to know him. Indeed, he barely knew himself. The very fact that Jesus extended his ministry across the lake into the region of the Gerasenes gives us, the church, today, the people of God, a clear mission to take the gospel beyond our usual social, religious, political, cultural boundaries and to the ends of the earth. This story gives us that permission. It encourages us to do so. Christians then and now are called to inhabit the borderlands. The borderlands in culture and society, to make sure that the gates are always open and the fences are taken down. Is it any wonder that it was Christians who led the emancipation of the slave trade? Is it any wonder it was Christians who led the civil rights movement? Is it any wonder it's Christians who established the hospice movement and today in the UK are the leading providers of food banks, eradicating debt, and often first responders across the world when there's international disasters? A clear characteristic of the Christian faith is inclusivity. Inclusivity, not exclusivity. Inclusivity is everyone has access to the good news of Jesus. No one's excluded from that. The salvation of Jesus offers can be taken to the whole world. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. There's no longer them and us. Salvation is offered to all. Christ died for all. And everyone, the Bible says, who believes in him receives all the saving resources of Jesus. Jesus does not impose any social or cultural or intellectual, emotional or political conditions upon which we need to qualify to know and enjoy his saving grace. We put those on ourselves or we impose those things on others. If you rule yourself out of God's saving power to restore you and love you and be with you, if you rule yourself out of God's saving power or anyone else you deem beyond saving, then your God is too small. And your God is not the God of the Old and the New Testament. Because the God we find there is a God who's powerful. So start praying to this God that we find in Jesus. Start praying about yourself or someone else in Jesus' name. The Bible said it's the name above every name. It's the most powerful name that you can use to bring change in the world and change in yourself if that's where it needs to start. God is good, God is love, and God is powerful. I know these are really simple things, but they are foundational to your faith. If you take these away and hold these, they can strengthen your faith and your sense of who God is and who you are. Lastly, in a really odd twist in the story, we're told that the demons, as they left the man, they suggested maybe they should go into a herd of pigs, a very large herd of pigs, who in their chaos and confusion stampeded off the cliffside into Lake Galilee. They must have been quite a sight, because the Bible says that a huge crowd came from one of the local towns to see all of these dead pigs floating in the lake. Still today on the eastern shore, there's a steep cliff face that falls steeply into the sea. And when I visited Galilee in 2022, I stood on that cliffside, which was the side of the Gerasenes. And there's still some villages and towns, evidence there of the towns at the time of Jesus. And along the cliff face are tombs, caves. Just like the ones that this man probably lived in, this troubled Gerasenean man. But then this man, restored to his true self, wants to leave that cave. Wants to go out and live life to its full. Not be restricted by this particular area and this dark cave. But Jesus has a particular idea for this man. The man wants to follow Jesus and go with him and stay with him, but Jesus has another idea, and he tells the man, go home. Go home. So his friends can hear the amazing story of what God has done, and everyone can see the transformation and see this man for who he truly is. And you see, you're here this morning, start of another week. Near the end of January. Time travels fast. But a week ahead of you. And if you've met with Jesus this morning, letting Jesus take off those masks. Letting Jesus see who you truly are. Then you too can leave this morning and take your life as a good news story of how who you are and how you live out these weeks, this week, the choices you make, the things you choose to say, not to say, the things you choose to do, not to do, all of that, your interactions, your connections, your relationships. If all of that is shaped and formed by your relationship with Jesus, then you've got something to bring to the world. You've got a story. You need to hear from Jesus this morning. He's telling you, like he said to the man in the Gerasenes, go home. Go, leave this place. Go and take what you know of who I am and what I can do and what I have done in you. Take it out into your life this week. Take all that goodness, all that love, all that power. Take it with you. John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24 says this. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. So those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration. When you bring your true self, as you are, as this man did, he said, I'm legion, I'm many things. God can do a work in you to restore yourself. To remove all those things that are harmful, that are destructive, that are not needed in your life. Those personas that are not good. And start to hone you down until the person that God intended you to be. And better still, into the likeness of Jesus himself. Jesus sent this man back into his community to worship God as his true self, created in the goodness of God, loved by God, and with the power of God to live differently, more fully than he ever could on his own. And it began with this simple and pertinent question. What is your name? And that question unlocks who we are. And I leave it with you this morning. Let's pray. Here we are before you, God. And forgive us if this morning we've come wearing masks. Putting on a particular front. Well, we're here now, as we are, and we're before you and we're in your company. And we thank you what this story has revealed about you. That God, you're good. You're love. And you're powerful. And we bring ourselves to you now, all our personas. All the different facets that make up ourselves. And in the silence, if we are ready, as I hope we are, God, we invite you to hone and shape and form within us our true self. That you might do a work within us, like you did in that man in the Gerasenes. And we hear you, God, telling us now to go. And we go in the confidence of who you are. May this week that be the center of ourselves. May that be our foundation. May that be our confidence, God, this week. As we go as your people, as children of God, into this world. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the lengthening days, showing us that spring is only a month away, and hopefully the recent icy days at that point will be just a memory. Thank you to Heavenly Father that we have, that we are free to worship together, a blessing that isn't always afforded to people in a number of places around the world. We think, for example, of conflict situations in Gaza, Yemen, Sudan, and not forgetting the seemingly endless Ukraine conflict, the invasion where spring will feel a much longer way away than it does here. Please bless the people impacted in these areas and allow ceasefires to be negotiated, to allow leaders there a chance to establish a just and lasting peace. Dear Lord, help the people there. to adjust to whatever the new normal is to be in that region. Closer to home, Lord, please be with our local politicians and let them find a way to restore a government here and end our own seemingly endless statement through, though thank you, that as yet there seems to be no sign of armed conflict re-establishing itself here. And we pray that the things stay that way so that our children don't grow up in the sort of divided society that so many of us live through. Bless those families, Lord, whose children will have received their CIAG results recently, yesterday. And whatever the active academic result, we pray that they may move forward to a new school with optimism for their future and for whatever awaits them there. Lord, bless to the teachers in their primary school who prepared them for the test, and also bless the teachers who are waiting to greet them at their new schools. We pray, Lord, too, for the residents of Balmoral Avenue and Balmoral News, to whom prayer cards are to be delivered this week. We pray for the families in those houses. We pray that they're well and they're encouraged by knowing that they're being prayed for. And please bless the prayer team too. Can you be with the people who may be coming to a decision regarding the proposed mission trip to Ethiopia? Stand by me to Ethiopia, and bless the stand by me team themselves as they plan the trip out there. Lord, bless Catherine too. She tries to work with the team to establish a new minister for the Tokomona Church. Be with her and make her give her wise guidance to help them in their decision to choose a new minister. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.